across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Thank you, Don Ruin. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Wednesday, July 12th. This is National Paper Bag Day, because it's got to always be a national day of something. American inventor Francis Wohl receives credit for patenting the first paper bag machine in 1852. And let's see, let's just add more to it. There was William Goodale, who received a patent on this day in 1859 for a way to cut the paper such that it was ready for folding into a paper bag. There, you've got, there's your conversation starter for the day here. Coming up this hour, we've got Rebecca Cook, candidate for Congress at 7:30. We've got Todd Alba coming up at 7:50. Selena Heller will be here in a matter of moments. But first, if you missed our last hour with our climate check and State Representative Katrina Shanklin, you can catch the show anytime by subscribing to it as a podcast. Go to Apple, Spotify, all the usual places, or, of course, the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. And if you want to reach us here, our phone number is 844-967-2789. The email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. All right, I don't know how else to bring in an old friend and an old colleague except to say that one of us is getting older and one of us is not. And Selena Heller continues to have the charm and innocence that she brought to Channel 13 20-some years ago. And maybe it's because she had the good sense to get out of TV news for a while and not age as rapidly as the rest of us. But now she's joined Up North News as a reporter and joins us from Eau Claire. Selena, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you.
it's fun to have you here. I think that if our old selves from, say, 1997 could be here right now, first off, your 1997 self would look at me and go, "You're a grandpa? You have four grandkids?" And I'd be turning to you and say, "You're a mom." Which is clearly your favorite job.
Yes, absolutely. 6-year-old Emery. She's the light of my world.
Oh my gosh. And she is just always smiles and curiosity and has the most patient cat in the world.
Yes.
Because that's, most of our communication these past few years has just been, through Facebook, and Emma's got that cat always in some kind of a stranglehold, and that cat is just patient as can be. How did you luck out on finding such a patient cat?
Well, we foster kittens from the Buffalo County Humane Association, and the first kitten we ever got was Whiskers. We named Whiskers, and we ended up, I didn't know the term at that time, foster fail, but everybody was saying this is going to be a foster fail, and I didn't know what that was. So lo and behold, Whiskers was a foster fail, but he got used to it, carrying him around, putting him in the stroller, treating him like a baby, and we would give him baths like every day, because Whiskers was really little when the association first got him. He was found at the side of the road in like Mondovi on Highway 37, and so we had him from when he was really, really little, and he has gotten used to her, and he takes baths all of the time. He has tea parties in the bathtub with Emery all of the time. She has her tea set, and then she uses that to give him baths, and they have tea parties right in the bathtub, and he just sits in there and hangs out. And he's actually
Oh, there we go. Well, there, look at you. Again, very patient. Just grab me, throw me up on a video chat. That's fine. That is the complete opposite of a foster fail, because the thing is, a lot of when I think of a fail with animals, I think of service animals. The church that we went to in Chippewa Falls for a long time had a woman who fostered dogs that were going to be trained as service animals. And you could tell so many of them were good dogs. They followed instructions and everything. You could tell which ones were not going to make it. They were the ones that are always looking to be petted. And they were just kind of giving you a look like, "I can't wait to come over and lick your knee" or something like that. And we're like, "Oh, you're not going to be a service dog, but you are going to make a lovely pet for someone someday." So you've got some Buffalo County roots, right?
I'm from Jackson County.
Jackson County.
And Buffalo County just happened.
That's like the Twins. It's like Jackson Twin County, Cities, Black River, you know, it's right there, you know. How long were you at 13? How long were you at 13?
About 15 years. I started while I was in college. Mm-hmm. So I started when I was like 19.
I'd swear it was 14.
I started out during the 14, 15, give or take.
But you were early mornings. But you were the person who, I mean, it was like, if there's something that it was going to be a little quirky and personable, like, let's say the Blue Angels were coming to town or something like that. It's like, let's put Selena in a jet, you know?
Yes, I went up with the Blue Angels and only the Fat Albert, the C-130, which you wouldn't think anyone would get sick in because it's the big C-130.
You managed?
Oh, yes.
Okay, congratulations on that.
Sick in cockpit with angels.
So we're going to tell some other tales out of school as we get to talking about the Northern Wisconsin State Fair getting started this week, and we're going to talk about other festivals, things that Selena has covered over the years, like Rock Fest, which is starting here in Cadott this weekend, Country Jam. Wait till you hear about her most outlandish Country Jam interview, and it was not a country music singer. So that and more when we continue our visit with Selena Heller, Rebecca Cook, still to come after this. You're up north.
Our state fair is a great state fair. Don't miss it, don't even be late. It's dollars to donuts that our state fair is the best state fair in our state.
You knew we had to go completely old school there with some Rodgers and Hammerstein before we talk about the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. That'll be coming up in just a second. But right now, Jennifer Wachitsky from Weatherology joins us to talk about the Wisconsin State forecast for this week as we look at not just the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, but a whole passel of county fairs and music festivals. Some start today, some tomorrow, some Friday. So, Jennifer, good morning. Tell us what kind of weather we're going to face around the state for all of this outdoor activity.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it does look like today we start off with some scattered showers and thunderstorms expected throughout the state today and tonight. A little on the cooler side as that cold front finally pushes through. Highs in the 70s for everyone when we normally should be in the 80s. A marginal risk for severe weather from a line extending from Baldwin down the Richland Center and over to Milwaukee. So definitely something we'll keep you posted on throughout the day today. Starting to warm up a little already for your Thursday tomorrow as a warm front begins to push through. Upper 70s to low 80s expected. Looks like still a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms across the board, but then a better chance for storms by Friday to round out the work week, primarily in the afternoon hours. More of an average forecast on Friday, highs in the low to mid 80s. A dry start to the weekend from Madison to Richland Center with sunny skies and highs in the 80s. A slight chance for showers and storms for everyone else, lingering in the 80s as well, so pretty average for this time of the year. Then a slight chance for showers and storms for Sunday afternoon for all with a blend of clouds and sunshine developing. Highs in the 80s for most, upper 70s from Oshkosh to Wausau and over to Amory and Baldwin.
All right, and 60 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. Jennifer, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, let's continue our conversation here with Selena Heller, new Up North News reporter. And when we were speaking before the break here, we were talking about some of the various stories that we've had to cover over the years. And when I asked about music festivals, because we're going to talk about that next, and Country Jam, and I said, what were some of the, because I remember you were all the time the, you know, kind of the field reporter for that. Yeah, and
I always had all the interviews.
Yes. What do you remember most when you think of the interviews of celebrities you've done?
Well, we were talking the most memorable and not a country artist. And it was a comedian. Carrot Top was at Country Jam one year. And I loved Carrot Top at the time and watched him all of the time. And so I was most excited to interview Carrot Top. And so we got backstage and I was so excited and ready to go. And he started doing wild things. Like he took his hat off and he was all sweaty because I think he was I don't know if he was on just then, or I think he just came off the stage. So he's all sweaty and he took this hat off and he put it over my head and it was just all sweaty and I couldn't see. Yeah, it was kind of gross. And then, but I just kind of continued on, carried on, and just, he kind of got a little just wild and crazy. And this was supposed to be like an interview. I was supposed to kind of run it back to the station and it was going to play right on the air, not edited. It was going to look like it was live, happening live. But he got so wild and just kind of out of control and stood up and did all sorts of things. And so we couldn't really follow him on the video camera because he was just a little bit out of control. So I was getting a little upset because, like, I'm thinking in my head, he just created a lot more work for me because I have to hurry really fast. And if you know, getting out of the country jam grounds was not easy at the time. Maybe this year it'd be a little easier because it's new grounds, but at that time, not easy. And it would take a little bit long. And I kind of had to get there really fast. And then this new task he had given me of having to edit out the bad things that he was doing, sometimes a little not appropriate. So that couldn't go on the air. So I had to really rush back. And so I was so excited. And then it turned into me, I was kind of upset with him because he just made my job a lot more difficult. And he was just really wild. And it was just, usually it's something you control a little bit more, but like, that was not,
I just like how
not anything. That,
I just like how you said I was a fan of his at the time. at the time being the operative words there. But you said, was it Clint Black? You said it was one of the nicest people you talked to.
Yes, I loved interviewing Clint Black. He was just completely the opposite, as you would imagine. Calm and very pleasant and polite. And I just loved his music. So it was really kind of an honor, you know, an old school country star to talk with him. And it was just really just that was lovely. And Mark Brown from Sawyer Brown. They've been there multiple times at Country Jam. So I was always excited to be able to talk with them too.
Good. And so now we've got
very good entertainer.
Good. And we've got Rockfest going on this weekend near Cadott. Then of course the Northern Wisconsin State Fair goes on the same weekend in Chippewa Falls. And the big new thing for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair kind of goes back to its roots. These things were, you know, originally agricultural events. And there were some ag buildings, especially one of the barns that was especially old, and they've really come a long way in upgrading the facilities. What did you see there as they were making some preparations this week?
So on Monday, I was there, and Rusty Volk, the executive director of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, said, "Hop in my cart. I'm going to show you around." He was so excited about these new barns. There are four new multi-purpose barns, and that's the big thing. The key word is multi-purpose, because you wouldn't think barns could be used all year round, but these can be, because the kind of the unique thing, and these are barns that are setting an example for throughout the state. He said a lot of people from the International Association of Fairs are coming to see these barns and how did you do it? And they've been talking about this project for 5 years. And so they want to come and see, how did you do this? How did you make these barns multi-purpose? So one of the keys is that they're all concrete floors in these barns. So when the fair is done, the animals are out and you sweep out the sawdust and everything else that's there for the fair, you can hose down, you can pressure wash the walls, the floor, and it's ready to go for something else. So that's one of the cool things, that all these barns can be used for other things throughout the year. Another thing he showed me was in the milking barn, there's a viewing window that's new, and you can watch kind of where the milk goes in the parlor, and it's kind of a neat area where all the cows are now. There's a new area for washing cows. It's all concrete. He said they worked a lot with the DNR and just for, you know, just keeping things proper at the fair, and so that's a new area. So all these barns are really exciting. And the new Coliseum, it was the Red Barn Coliseum that was there before, and now it's the new Custer Coliseum. The story with that, he told me, it was kind of a very sentimental story for him. He secured all these barns are from donations or grants. So this Custer Coliseum is a family farm. That's last name is Custer, and they donated money for the Custer Coliseum.
Oh, that's very nice. All right. So so a lot to see up there. And it's not just that fair. There are county fairs this weekend going on in Jefferson, Kewaunee, Lafayette, Trempealeau, Sauk. And yet we hear about the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, the Central Wisconsin State Fair. And I'm sure people wonder, like, wait, there's the Wisconsin State Fair in the Milwaukee suburb of West Allis. Mm-hmm. And that's when I learned there's a level between county fairs and state fairs called the district fair. And I think there's like four districts around the state, and that's what makes us so special. Am I kind of on the right track there?
Yeah. And actually this dates back for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, because the fair this year is in its 125th year. So all the way back to 1897, when the state government decided the homesteaders back then, they probably weren't going to travel all the way to West Allis. So they decided to make a Northern Wisconsin State Fair way back then, because it was difficult to get all the way there. And I don't know, it could be the same for the Central Wisconsin State Fair in Marshfield. That's coming up at the end of August too, for those reasons to start that fair too. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So if anybody's like, well, how come they get to call themselves a Wisconsin State Fair in those communities? There is a reason. And by the way, if you're going out there just for, say, the rides and the food, which are perfectly valid, but I mean, do yourself a favor and look at some of the handiwork, look at what the 4-H kids, have been doing and things like that. Because it's what's happening in your community. Maybe not you, but there are people near you that are working very hard on some of these projects. And it's not just county fairs. Just this weekend alone, we mentioned Rockfest and Cadott. There's Country Boom going on in West Salem. And then there's the Harley-Davidson Homecoming. And that is their, 125th, I want to say. And you've been to the Harley-Davidson Homecoming in the past.
I have a shirt. The 95th. I survived the 95th, my shirt says.
Well, look at you.
Followed around
Selena Heller at the Harley-Davidson Homecoming. But there you were. Did you ride down with a friend on a motorcycle or something like that?
I actually did. Yeah, a group of people from Black River Falls. I rode down and went in the parade. I did a story while I was there, followed around. So I drove a motorcycle for the first time.
Wow. Hey, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it was you that was doing live remotes alongside a lake. And there was a group of people that wanted to take you out on the boat ride. And you actually had to get in the boat at the end of the live shot because they were looking to take you away. And I think poor Judy Clark had to tap dance for the last couple of seconds of things, if I'm not mistaken. More live TV, man.
That is correct. And now that you bring that up, I think they were like, come on and go on. I don't know, whatever. If they had a tube or whatever. I'm like, I'm not really dressed for that. But I went in my clothes and then had to go home and just all wet in my wet clothes from being out on their boat after the live show.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I remember that very well. So it's nice to know that we are making a proper investment in what we're going to be getting out of you now that you're over with Up North News here. And before I let you go, we should note in terms of music festivals, other ones that are coming up a week from now include Country Jam in Eau Claire, Country Thunder in Twin Lakes, and then we still have Appleton's Mile of Music starts August 3rd. Ashley for the Arts is August 10th. So those and many more, plus all of the county fairs. I should note as well, county fairs a week from now are going to include Barron, Dane, Fond du Lac, Green, Outagamie, Waukesha, St. Croix, and the La Crosse Interstate Fair. So plenty of opportunities for us to send Selena around and see what kind of trouble we can get her in. Selena, thanks. Sorry we had a little technical delay there, but we'll fix that before next time. It's great to have you on board, and have a great day. We'll talk to you a little later on. All right, there goes Selena Heller. And coming up next, we're going to talk to Rebecca Cook. She is a candidate for Congress. If that sounds familiar, it's because she was a candidate for Congress last year as well and has put her hat in the ring. We'll ask her why. She has what she says are some very good reasons for wanting to get in again and continue to build that support that's going to be necessary to unseat an incumbent. In this case, it's incumbent Republican Derek Van Orden. So we'll look for that conversation with Rebecca Cook, followed after that by Todd Alba. All that's still ahead on Up North News Radio for this Wednesday. We'll be back. Here we go. 2024 is already on the doorstep, and rightly so. I know as a former congressional candidate myself that there is a lot of pressure to get in early because there's a lot of work to do. Congressional districts are big. There's a lot of money to raise. There's a lot of people to meet. And so it's no wonder that people are already gearing up for potential races or considering them. We've certainly talked to people who are considering getting into the 2024 races that are still working through that process. Rebecca Cook has worked through that process and this week has announced her intention to run for the 3rd Congressional District in Western and parts of Central Wisconsin. And she joins us this morning. Rebecca, good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on again, Pat.
Hey, you said very shortly after the November election last year, you put up a tweet that said in so many words, heck yeah, I'm considering doing this again. What was it about the experience last time around that told you that this was something to continue to keep in the back of your mind for 2024?
Yeah. Well, you know, I performed, in my opinion, exceptionally well in the primary. And I think in the opinion of a lot of folks, surprised a lot of people. I think I was underestimated a bit throughout my campaign. And especially on the primary night, you know, I won 11 out of 19 counties, mostly rural counties. And, you know, I think rural Democrats are really looking for a new voice to represent them in Washington. And so I was really proud of that. You know, not just rural counties did I win, but I won Eau Claire County, my home community, you know, as well as Portage County. And so, you know, so I think with that kind of a showing, it's something that I wanted to finish what we started. It was a movement that we are really a grassroots campaign that we grew throughout this region in this district.
And that really was noteworthy to win a majority of the counties in the district in a 4-person primary. And, you know, as we've noted on this program many a time, Brad Paff, current state senator from the La Crosse area, the moment he got in, he was going to have a significant edge in terms of name ID. He has a base in the La Crosse area. But for you to then take the next couple populous counties, you know, Eau Claire and Portage, was especially noteworthy. And we're going to keep the focus on your campaign, but obviously to do our due diligence here, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has reported, and I have certainly talked to people that have said that, you know, Path may be considering a run and that Deb McGrath, who ran last time, may be considering a run, and that there are other people, perhaps Missy Hughes from the WEDC is rumored to be considering a run as well. Did you feel any sort of pressure to declare first, assuming that more Democrats are going to jump into the race?
No, I think that it's important to, you know, to think about the race as a whole. You know, right now with Derek Van Orden, who is our real opponent, you know, being in office, I don't want him to get too comfortable in a seat. And I think it's important to start early, to be able to raise the resources to win, to be able to travel this 19 county district to really connect with folks, and to keep Derek on his toes. I mean, the more that he's in that seat getting comfortable, you know, is more time that, that, you know, we aren't in, doing good things for regular folks. Right. And so for me, it wasn't about, a primary, right. It's about, holding somebody accountable and, putting his feet to the fire. So that was a big reason for me to get in, to kind of put some pressure on him, but also to build the momentum, of a campaign that's needed to take him on.
So. Well, it's really what you mentioned, you know, shortly after the November election was keeping him accountable. And so since that time, he is now just over 6 months into being a congressional representative. What kind of a report card do you think he's earned at this point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that there's a lot of areas in which Derek and I differ. I think one, the biggest issue in my perspective is women's reproductive freedoms. And that was a key issue for all of us last cycle. Roe v. Wade was overturned. And, you know, I think that that's, you know, I think that that's the biggest differentiator. And he was somebody that celebrated that. I think that we differ on a number of other issues. But, you know, that's to me, I think that the key issue of the day and what it's going to be in 2024 is, as we go head to head.
Do you see that it was a real difference maker as an issue in 2022? Do you think it will have the same impact in 2024 versus a viewpoint that says voters will just accept that this is the way things are and it won't factor into whether they vote or not and which way they vote?
I think it'll be a real issue maker. I think also, you know, you look at the Supreme Court race that we had here in Wisconsin, and you look at the way that especially young voters turned out. I think that that's especially an issue that motivates them. And in this district, you know, we have six, you know, major universities. And I think working to really mobilize young people in particular to come out and vote on that particular issue is going to be a real difference maker. And it's not just young folks. I think people, not just women as well, are motivated to come out to vote, you know, to have their rights restored. Honestly, and I think that the Republican Party is just continuing to chip away, you know, at the rights of everyday people, of things that I think, you know, maybe we've taken for granted and now, you know, we want to have back. So
the 3rd congressional district is often likened to its rural population and farming, and we will get to that. But you do mention a couple of other important constituencies. We've talked about women and their health care rights, and right. Now we've talked about the young voters in the district. And it is noteworthy that there are so many educational institutions in right. or very near the 3rd congressional district. And you already have on the Republican side this continued effort to, you know, suppress young voters. You have one-time Wisconsin-based attorney, Kalita Mitchell, who continues to push for telling Republican donors one of the top priorities ought to be to restrict voting on college campuses. So you definitely have a ready-made constituency that folks, especially in Eau Claire, Portage, and La Crosse counties, should not discount.
Right. No, absolutely. You know, and I think, you know, students are very much a part of our communities and a part of our population. And, you know, I think that their voices need to be heard. And so I was at the UW-Eau Claire campus during the spring elections. And, you know, it was long, long lines. And people are motivated to turn out and to express that right. So
let's turn then to the agricultural end, because the Congress is divided, but does have to at some point reach agreement on a new farm bill, something that comes up every 4 years or so. It's a massive legislative package that doesn't affect just farmers, but touches almost everybody's lives. Mm-hmm. And Congressman Van Orden has, I guess you'd say, has tried to say the right things, that, you know, wants this to be a package for all, but he has also done some things that make clear, you know, his priorities are not necessarily with the people who would be most impacted by a farm bill. What is it that you will be telling rural voters about what you would bring to the congressional district seat as a member of Congress, not just for the farm bill, but for other related pieces of legislation?
Yeah. You know, Pat, one of the ways that I campaigned a lot last cycle, you know, I was out at dairy breakfasts. I'm going to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair this weekend in Chippewa Falls. Being a dairy farmer's daughter, growing up on a dairy farm, I know a lot of those unique challenges that folks face, having to sell your cows because of the price of milk. My family had to do that. So those are really lived experiences that I've had. And so being able to connect with people in rural communities is not a big stretch for me. And being able to understand that the issues that they're facing, I get it. And so I'm going to be, you know, out there talking. In particular, you know, inflation is still really hurting not just rural families, but working families all throughout this district and through the country, and just the cost, rising cost of everyday goods. And so, you know, thinking about how we can address in particular economic issues that folks are still really struggling with. And so, so that's a lot of what I'm, you know, going to be talking about and addressing in this campaign. I think healthcare will continue to be, you know, at the top of my priorities, you know, expanding, you know, Medicare to cover, you know, hearing and visual, right? You know, and so those are some of the things that I'm going to be talking about with folks, you know, as I'm cutting throughout the district, but really focusing on values and not political ideology. I'm not going to say I'd like you to vote for me because, you know, I'm a Democrat. Typically, I introduce, you know, folks to myself and say, hi, you know, I'm Rebecca Cook, and this is what I believe in. These are the values that I believe in, and folks really seem to connect with that.
Folks can connect with us, not just through the phone lines, but also through text messaging through the Civic Media app. And I wanted to share one comment that came in, somebody who's listening in La Crosse, who writes, Van Orden is an insurrectionist. He marched at the White House trying to ruin our democracy. Could you please focus on that when you run? And also women's rights. We're going back 50 years. Thank you. I'm from Onalaska, and I did vote for you, and I'll vote for you again. Or any Democrat that runs against Van Orden. So there's still some very strong feelings about the fact that now Congressman Van Orden was on the U.S. Capitol grounds on January 6th.
Yeah, and I think that remains to be at the base of this, right? It's the foundation of a lot of the issues that we have with Derek Van Orden. He's very much a threat to our democracy, in my opinion. And I think, you know, you continue to see the things that he radically does and lashes out, you know, and what he did at a library in Prairie du Chien and harassing a young librarian. And I think that kind of behavior, you know, is just not what we want from a representative in Western Wisconsin, and not who we want representing us in the halls of Congress. And so, you know, and that's where I think, you know, getting in early and being able to push him on those issues and, you know, and catch him doing some of those things that I think are very opposite of what we want to be representing us in DC is important. And so, and that's what I tend to do. You know, I think Derek Van Orden, I will know it is not from here. You know, he's an author, he's an actor, and congressman, in my opinion, is just, you know, another feather in the hat for him. It seems like he is in this for the limelight and the ego of it, and not to be a true public servant.
And as well, when I think of what House Republicans have done since they took the majority last November, and again, I will note, it's a very narrow majority because of gerrymandering, but they went right into, you know, culture wars. And I mean, now all we hear about is, you know, Bud Light and green M&Ms and, you know, whatever is going to be happening next. So setting Van Orden aside and just speaking writ large, when you talk to independent voters, what do you tell them about why the House of Representatives should be back under Democratic control versus the way Republicans are running the House right now?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm honestly, you know, when I talk to independents, I'm still speaking more about the kind of campaign and the kind of representative, you know, that I'm going to be in and that I'm going to run and that I'm going to think pragmatically and be constituent centered. And I think that's what happens with a lot of folks that head to DC. They forget about who elected them and took them there, right? Their constituents. And so I think running a really constituent focused office that really meets the needs of folks here is really important to me. And that's what I ran on last time, is being able to offer unparalleled constituent service so that folks really believe, you know, that you're there for them and putting forth bills that, you know, are bipartisan and that that people on both sides of the aisle can get on. I think right now, like you said, there's so much polarization in Washington and so much infighting on the, you know, far left and far right. And I think it's important to come together to really work to get things done.
I got time for one quick phone call. David from Mequon is on the line. Dave, I've got a minute, so can you ask your give a quick question to Rebecca Cook?
I do. Thank you for taking my call. Really quickly, in regards with Medicare, do you believe in Medicare for all? And if so, why? And the other question is, you mentioned about the hearing and vision, but just curious where your standpoint is on that question.
All right. Sounds good, David. We've got about 30 seconds here, Rebecca. What do you think of Medicare for All and his question?
Yeah, this has been brought up a lot, especially in the last campaign. And, you know, I think if that was a bill that was brought up right now in Congress, it's not going to pass. And so for me to say it's something that I support when realistically we're not going to get it through, I am supportive of everybody having healthcare. Healthcare is a human right. But I think we need to figure out what kind of bill that we can get passed to get people the what they need now. And I don't think Medicare for All would pass if it was brought up in Congress.
I think it's part of the Green New Deal. It's like, wait, that could be almost anything. These are concepts. Yes. What is actually going to be in that or in something that overturns Citizens United? In all cases, it's like, much like Janet Protasiewicz running, where are your values rather than how you vote on a particular bill? Rebecca, I am out of time, but I know we're going to have you back frequently. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Pat. I appreciate it.
All right. Todd Alba's up next. You're up north. All right, I always have to ask because it's always a mystery to me at 7:50. You picking your walk-up music these days, or is Aaron punking us with something?
That was me. I chose the song Teeth by Cage the Elephant because yesterday Todd had a cleaning at the dentist and was a little bit loopy on the show.
How could you tell?
Fair point.
Thank you. I believe I took that one. But although if Aaron is saying it, since he babysits, I mean, he's your producer every day for a couple of hours, that he gets this. Did you get a clean bill of health? Are you?
Yeah, I did. I did. I got a nice cleaning here at First Choice Dental in Madison. So they do a great job. But yeah, I don't know. I was a little goofier than normal when I got done because I came right from the dental chair and was on the air a half an hour later.
Ooh. That's brave.
It was only a little bit goofier than normal, but I still got to poke fun at it.
Sure. Why not? Well, have you been in a position? I mean, we've all seen the viral videos now of people when they get done having their wisdom teeth out and they're still kind of loopy, you know? Have you had that experience of having like wisdom teeth pulled or something?
Yeah, I've had wisdom teeth pulled late in life. Like I was in my 30s, I think, when I got them pulled. Yeah. But you'll appreciate this, Pat. The short, really short version is in high school, I was actually hit by a car. I'm not joking. I was hit. That's part of the problem, right? There was a Dallas episode in which Bobby Ewing got hit by a car and he like went up over top of the car. That was me. And I got taken to the emergency room and I was knocked out. I woke up and my doctor who had the OBGYN doctor for my mother who was there at the beginning was there almost at the end. And I woke up and this is what I said. My first words were, I'm Todd Alball, I'm a Republican, and I'm wearing clean underwear.
Did they teach you to say that at party meetings or something? Or
I don't know.
What kind of code were you speaking in there?
I don't know. But I guess in my subconscious, those were the important things to get out at 18 years old.
All right. Well, good. I had three wisdom teeth pulled out when I was, I want to say, 19. I was working at the Valley Fair Amusement Park at the time. Oh. And so a buddy took me to the appointment. And all I remember from the drive back was just how happy I was. You know, other people, they're like crying, you know, it's like being a crying drunk versus a happy drunk. I was very happy. And as we're driving down Interstate 35, you know, back to Shakopee to go to the amusement park. And I'm just looking out I'm waving to people out the window going, hi. So different medications. So if we ever want to do the show differently, you know, apparently we just need to apply the right, medication and it'll be happy, Pat.
Right. We should do our shows jointly, like in a dental office one week.
I don't know about that. I don't think we actually need the dental work to be done
And then like ASMR dental work, you just hear the tools firing up like.
Yeah, that's not my favorite.
I was happy because I was no longer in the dental office or the oral surgeon's office. What you've been working on? You've had this show weekdays from 1 to 3, I understand.
That's correct. So we're in the afternoon, and it's a lot of fun doing things across the state. Of course, today in the afternoon, we have the wonderful and talented Pat Kreitlow to start it off, and then Trigvi Olsen of the Lincoln Project after that. And we also have Cashbox Kings. You ever heard of them?
Cashbox Kings.
Yeah, it's a musical group, and we're I got to check now. It's either this afternoon or tomorrow. I haven't checked the notes yet, but that's coming up as well. And so trying to diversify ourselves. I've had a couple of writers on the last couple of weeks talking a little bit about the Hollywood writers strike. And of course, now the Actors Guild, I think, is set to join them today if things didn't get worked out at the last minute. And that's going to impact a lot more than people think.
I'm going to have to look this up while I talk about it. But there is a quote that's been making the rounds here. Here it is, about what the studios have been saying. Mm-hmm. And what they're trying to do is basically they're not negotiating in good faith because they literally want the writers to run out of money after 5 months on the picket line. This is a quote from the publication Deadline. A studio executive told Deadline, "The end game is to allow things to drag on until union members start losing their apartments and start losing their houses," a studio executive said, acknowledging that their cold as ice approach, one insider called it, quote, "a cruel but necessary evil." Hey, folks, don't tell me there's no such thing as class warfare that goes on in this country. It's very much there if that's how you're negotiating.
And what this is really about, the quick 30,000-foot view, a lot of it is over artificial intelligence, AI. And and writers and now actors want to say, hey, we want an assurance that moving forward that we're going to focus on human content and human actors. And if you've been watching 60 Minutes or reading other stuff, I mean, we're getting to the age really quick, Pat, when it might not be the case. And to your point, people's lives are at risk because a lot of writers and actors make money off the residuals after these things air or go into syndication. And so I admire the writers. My hats are off to them. My hats are off to the actors as well. But we've got that. We've got UPS set to strike on August 1st basic human rights, like not dying and getting kidney failure on the job in Arizona and Florida and other places like that. We talked about that a little bit. And
we've got Starbucks there's apparently, according to my old colleague, JD Saskowski, he says, "I'm told a bus is making a stop at the State Street Starbucks this afternoon, probably to distribute flyers because of a unionization vote." And then, of course, here close to home, we've got workers at Line and Kugel's striking for only the second time in the brewery's 130-year history or something like that. And again, I consider these to be positive developments, because if you look at income distribution, if you look at what Republican legislators put up for tax breaks, it's past time to get that thumb off the scale on the other side of things. And if this is what it's going to take, we're doing this not just for ourselves, but for our children and grandchildren, so that they don't have to graduate from college with six-figure debt only to go to a job that will literally, you know, force you from your home in order to pay you less.
Well, as our colleagues, Luke Mathers and William Walter out of Town Call yesterday talked about, I think others as well, it appears now there's a $4 billion surplus left in the state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
So we think of all those things, issues that you brought up, women's health rights that you and Dr. Lyerly and others have brought up, that are sitting there going unfunded while there's, $4 billion left in the kitty.
And yet, what did Robin Voss say, I think, day before yesterday? Is he going to negotiate with the governor on make the tax cut a little more middle class friendly? He says, no, we're basically going to pass the same tax cut bill again and send it back to him. Thanks for wasting our time, Speaker Voss. So for more of this and so much more, the newly diversified Todd Alba Show, weekdays.
Newly diversified?
Well, you said you got writers, you're doing music, you're a renaissance man.
Our guests are, we're not taking.
Hey, take the credit, buddy, all right. Have a great day. We'll talk to you a little later.
See you later.
All right. Again, thanks for listening. Whether it's a podcast or on social media, or if you're on the radio listening live, keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. See you tomorrow.